You've been listening to ILTA Radio. Subscribe to ILTA's podcasts through iTunes or Podbean and get alerted about new recordings. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.
Hello and welcome to the winter issue of Peer to Peer. My name is Beth Ann Stubbe, and on behalf of ILTA, I'd like to welcome Nikki McCallum, Strategic Talent Manager at Lighthouse. Nikki is based out of New York City, and she has over 12 years of experience in the executive search space with a focus on litigation technology and e-discovery. Today, we'll be talking about company culture and cultural innovation. Welcome, Nikki. We're really excited to have you.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
Your article, Benefits Beyond Benefits, kicks off with the discussion, understanding values and what drives Generation Z and Y is critical to organizations attracting and retaining top talent. Building an innovative culture can rival compensation. Please talk to me a little bit how you got started out in marketing and technology and what you're seeing on the innovation technology horizon.
Absolutely. So I got started out in marketing and technology. The truth of the matter is I wound up in eDiscovery because I answered an ad on Craigslist in 2005. And it was actually for a company that was looking to sell document review services. So I started my career cold calling when there wasn't the innovative technology that we have today. I was literally in a room with a phone book, cold calling into law firms, trying to get attorneys to buy document review services. And from there, I moved into recruiting. But my point is, I've always been utilized in somewhat of a networking and sales capacity. I spent many years on the agency side in terms of e-discovery, recruiting, and career development and staffing. And over the past 12 years, I've seen tremendous differences in how I am finding ways to connect to individuals, get in front of individuals, pitch services to individuals, recruit individuals, and how technology has played a role in the evolution of my strategy.
How has Lighthouse pushed you as an employee, technologist, and marketer to pursue innovation and challenge company culture?
That's a great question. And what's interesting about Lighthouse, I think, has a very strong culture. And that's one of the reasons I took my career to Lighthouse. But one of the things they do really well that is a trend that I'm seeing, especially in eDiscovery right now, is the way they rally their remote workforce. Remote work is something that I'm definitely seeing individuals be drawn to as a huge perk. I'm talking to candidates, multiple candidates a day, and I can't tell you how many times a candidate has said to me, you know, I'd take 10 grand less on the base if I can work remotely, because that ability to work remotely, not only does it cut out their commuting costs, it expands their flexibility with their lifestyle, whether that individual has a family or side hustler or needs to be home to wait for a FedEx package, whatever that might be, that flexibility is so valuable to people. And I think that there is this myth, and maybe it's not so much a myth as it is an evolution, but I think that remote work has a bit of a stigma attached to it that employees won't necessarily be connected to each other, won't be motivated to do their work. It's kind of like, oh, well, you can work on your couch and watch TV or whatnot and feel kind of disconnected from the rest of your company. I think that rallying a remote workforce is something, again, that Lighthouse does very well. And it's definitely a challenge that I've seen, I'd say over the past year, it's starting to become, remote work in general is starting to become more and more popular. And I can tell you that some of the ways, and I've seen this be effective at multiple organizations, some of the ways Lighthouse rallies that remote workforce is providing technology to their employees that allows them to stay connected. I think everyone having a laptop that has camera access is key. All of our meetings are done virtually over video conference. So an organization can really have employees all over the globe in the same meeting via video conference, and it's a way to feel connected. I think also I've seen organizations be very successful in general, just having some sort of chat platform that lends itself to easy communication between employees. And another thing that I've seen be very successful in terms of rallying a remote workforce is having a platform where employees can kind of share and broadcast things they're working on, and that helps facilitate community, which is really important. And I'd say those are the top three things that I've seen be very successful in terms of rallying a remote workforce.
Most of our listeners may not be aware, but most of ILTA's staff is actually remote if they're not in the strong Chicagoland area. I'm remote, and being a remote worker has incredible benefits, as you suggest, but also some level of detraction still. You know, it is hard to innovate with each other. We do have to come up with ways to talk and connect, because aside from camera, there are a ton of other virtual ways for us to innovate and get on with each other. How do you suggest for an employer that's thinking about moving their workforce to be remote? What would you suggest they do first?
Yeah, I think the first thing they have to do is really, from a technical standpoint, build a community. And again, I think it's making sure their employees feel connected. I was with an organization prior to Lighthouse where I was essentially remote full-time. Now I'm split between being remote and in the New York office. But what was hard for me when I was remote is, you know, finding that community, because I think remote work can be very isolating. And while it definitely has all of these benefits, I found myself just feeling very alone and detached. And even talking on the phone, because I was technically in recruiting and sales, I was talking to people on the phone all day, but something about not being face to face or in the energy or presence of other human beings, I found to be really isolating. And it was a challenge for me, especially for my personality, because if you can't tell, I'm not shy. But I feed off of the energy of other people. So in terms of an employer who's looking to transition their workforce to mostly remote, I would say finding some vehicle that connects their team is key. And again, I think it should be via video conference. I think that there can be ways you can bring your community together, whether it's a quarterly basis or on an annual basis or a monthly basis, depending on where your employees are located. Lighthouse, for example, has an annual summit and they fly all their employees to headquarters for a week. And it's essentially an event where the employees can bond with each other. It's all about the key to having a successful remote workforce, I believe, is community and making sure that your employees are still connected to one another and don't feel isolated. And along those lines, again, depending on geographic location, if you've got five PMs that are in the tri-state area, I think you can organize dinners or meetups and make sure that your employees are connecting with each other. I think that's the most critical component to building a successful remote workforce.
I think ILTA does a great job of that with our staff, but I don't think that you can push company culture onto people if they don't want to partake in it.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a problem that a lot of employers have come across, especially with, you know, the generation gap that people keep talking about, that millennials versus everyone else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What do you think another great way to kind of bring those people together would be if they're not able to get together? Do you think that, you know, online socials work? Do you think that, you know, kind of game rooms, those type of areas that people can virtually meet, work well?
I think they do. I think they do. I mean, my entire team, well, most of my team is out of Seattle. I'm out of New York. And I have a weekly one-on-one with my boss that is virtual, that is via video conference. And our team has a weekly meeting that is virtual via video conference. And I just think it sounds so simple, but even being able to see the people that you are working with and being able to feed off that energy makes a huge difference. I have a life coach outside the industry, and I also do some coaching outside the industry, and I will not do phone sessions, and my coach does not do phone sessions, just because having that video component really adds that element of human energy that I think is critical if you're going to feel any sense of connectivity or community.
Do you think that technology has changed the way we talk to each other?
I do think it has changed the way we talk to each other. I think that, and that I think is one of the things, you raise another great point in terms of the remote culture and the remote workforce. I think as a whole, technology has resulted in us talking to each other less. We probably touch base with each other more via text or email just because it's less time consuming. Sometimes it's less intimidating, but I think you lose that human connection. But you're also leveraging technology to then rebuild that human connection again with video conferencing. That's a technology, right? First we had phones, then we had texting and emails, and now you've got other forms of technology that are being developed that kind of bring it back. Even though there's technology in between the human connection, it's all coming back to human connection.
I think that's vitally true, that human connection between not only our members, our constituents, our business partners, our authors. If we can't talk to each other, we can't communicate, and we can't put anything out that's collaborative together.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I do think simply emailing or texting, you lose the humanity. I mean, I play words with friends. I chat with people on there all the time. I have no idea who they are. You know, it's really important in terms of relationship building to be able to get face to face and feel connected.
Well, you did answer that Craigslist ad. If you were teaching a 100 or 200 level class in innovative culture, what would you cover?
That's a great question. I think I'll give you the top three things that I would cover in terms of building an innovative culture. Number one, if from the employer standpoint, if I'm running the company and I'm trying to build it to cater to a culture, I would want to understand what motivates and drives my employees. And that I think kind of brings us to the inspiration for this article, is there is a bit of a generation gap in terms of the workforce that is coming up into e-discovery, especially with a lot of new technologies and platforms that are being invented, you know, and all of the new trends, artificial intelligence, cybersecurity. It's just the individuals who are coming up now are of a slightly different generation than some of the attorneys and partners who built the foundation for the field. So I think it's understanding, number one, is understanding the demographics of your workforce and what motivates them, and being able to offer that. As I touched on in my article a long time ago, I think the main driver was money. And listen, money is still a driver. In no way or shape or form am I trying to negate that. Nobody works for free, right? Someone once told me work is a four-letter word. But I think that beyond money, a trend that I'm seeing right now in e-discovery and career development is that what is motivating this current generation, in addition to money, is a career progression, the ability to achieve, the ability to build on different skill sets and round out your skill sets and set yourself up for success down the road. I think that the current generation, for better or for worse, one of the differences I'm seeing is they tend to job hop a little bit more. And a lot of that is for the reason of, you know, it's easier sometimes to get more money if you change jobs. And, you know, there's obviously another school of thought that you want to stay at a company for a very long time. And the key, I think, is being able to provide both of those things. It's upward mobility, right? Both financially, but also equally as important is upward mobility in terms of a skill set that you're learning, advancement. Whether it's going to serve you in your current role, whether it's going to serve you in another role within your organization, or whether it's going to set you up for a different career path down the road. So that's number one. That was a long-winded answer. Understanding what motivates your workforce. Number two, in terms of culture, I think it's understanding what your company values are, right? Are your company values customer service? Are your company values, you know, is it social interaction? Is it community? Is it one of our values at Lighthouse is a wow factor. It's understanding what you want your messaging to be to your employees, but also your clients and your customers. Do you want to be known for having the best product? Do you want to be known for having the highest level of customer service? How do you want to be viewed in the marketplace? And in turn, those are the types of individuals that you're going to attract to your organization, or types of individuals that emulate those cultural values. I would say those are probably the two most important things. And yeah, I'm going to go with two. I don't know that there's another cultural value that really touches those two. I think those are critical.
But I think they both speak to the idea that whatever else happens, stagnation in any form is not innovation.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially in e-discovery, technology is moving so fast. If you're not developing something new, you're behind the curve.
Certainly true. To that end.
And also, I think billing yourself as a company that is innovative and being a company that is innovative is going to attract top talent because the top talent wants to keep growing and progressing and building.
How do you position your clients in such a way that they can measure their success?
So I think that it depends how you want to structure your metrics, but I think, I mean, it's really designing metrics in terms of how you want to measure that success. What does that success look like? And it's defining that. You know, is it revenue oriented? Is it how many new technologies can I go to market with, regardless of whether or not they generate revenue? Is it how many employees am I hiring? You need to define what success looks like before you can measure it. And I think another thing along those lines that I'm seeing that is being very successful right now is company recognition. The current generation, in addition to wanting opportunity for career growth and career development, recognition and accolades are something that really seem to resonate with people. And at Lighthouse, for example, we have a platform, it's called Seven Geese, and individuals are able to kind of recognize other individuals on a weekly basis at the company who are exhibiting our four main cultural values that we are trying to emulate. And so that's a great way to keep people motivated, keep people engaged, and that also circles back to something you can do with the remote workforce that just continues not only to motivate people, but to want to do well for your team.
What does innovation mean to you?
Innovation to me means continuing to think outside of the box and to expand your horizons in an effective way. Awesome. To me, innovation is always coming up with the next best thing. And it doesn't have to always be a totally new thing. It can be a new component that works well with a combination of things we were using before. But I think really it's thinking outside the box to always strive to reinvent creative solutions.
Your article talks so much about benefits to innovation and benefits to company culture. Your article for me was really helpful trying to balance both my personal and professional work from home life. I think that's an interesting perspective for an author to take. How did you get involved with
ILTA? I got involved with ILTA when I was doing agency recruiting and e-discovery. I'm trying to remember. I think my first ILTA, I can tell you my first ILTA, it was in Las Vegas. maybe nine or 10 years ago, maybe. Yeah, I don't want to date myself, but it was somewhere in that vicinity. And it was pitched to me as an opportunity to get to meet, to bring this full circle, to get to meet clients who were from other geographic locations who I was not able to get FaceTime with in New York. So that is what first drew me to ILTA.
What keeps you writing for us?
You know, I love the organization. I love the community. And I just think it's always good. I'm really passionate about being on top of the latest trends. And I think ILTA is an amazing community. And it's given me so much in my career. And I love the opportunity to be able to give back to that same community.
I'm incredibly grateful that you wrote for us. But what's next for you?
That's a great question. What is next for me in, I guess we'll say, in e-discovery? You know, I've been doing, and this, one of the reasons I love writing this article is I'm very passionate about career development. I'm very passionate about what attracts individuals to join certain organizations, why they take their careers where they do. And for me, my career just happens to be in e-discovery. So I think what's next for me is I would love to continue to share my knowledge around career development. And when I say career development, I mean setting yourself up for success a year from now, setting yourself up for success 5 years from now, understanding how to interview, understanding the psychological science around interviewing employees and trying to staff your organizations. So I've recently started doing speaking engagements around career development and networking. And so that's probably what's next for me, is trying to do more speaking engagements and work of that nature.
Thank you for taking the time to talk with us today about your article, Benefits Beyond Benefits. Look for it in the winter issue of Peer to Peer. Thanks again, Nikki.
This is ILTA Radio, the source for legal technology practices and ideas to help your career delivered to fit your busy schedule. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.